Hello again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Samuel Adams Returns, the Anti-Federalist Got It Right. And this is Tom Navolis, your host, and I'm so delighted that you're back with me today as we consider again what is that quintessential idea of the lesser magistrate. And today I want to look at how does it apply to what is happening in our present Congress, administration, judiciary, relative to what was going on during the Constitutional Convention of 87. It's real interesting to me that as I continue to look at the present and see that majority of what is going on begins with the reality that we have no moral compass whatsoever in any of our federal government, likewise in the state governments, and sadly speaking, in the majority of the county and city governments. Now, you question that, or no, I take that back, because, you know, you're on this site, and you're on this station, you have that concept that we need moral continuity within our form of government. In fact, wasn't it several of the framers and founders of this nation that said the Constitution, or in particular, this Constitution, was for what? A moral and virtuous people. Well, if we don't understand that concept of morality and the understanding of the founders' perspective of virtue, there is no way we can have that within the context of our government today. It's just obvious when we see that we're way off base when it comes to the ideas of making immoral types of law. Now, wait a minute, Tom. Where do you get this whole idea of you can set the judgment around morality? Well, it's very, very simple. As we've discussed, that what Samuel Adams understood was the very fact that morality is something that is developed, and government as a whole has to have some core beliefs. It has to have some fundamentals that are just purely concrete. It's not arbitrary. The world isn't arbitrary. We know that science has rules, otherwise it doesn't work. Gravity, if it was not the rule of gravity, we'd all be floating off in space someplace. If we didn't know that water had its principles of being a vapor, a liquid, or a solid, and that there's certain constructs on how those molecules operate at a different temperature, well, what would that mean for us if we didn't understand that as fundamental principles of our reality? Well, so too, that is true with the whole idea of governance. Now, what we see today, more than anything else, and what we've allowed ourselves to degenerate to, and I mean degenerate to, is the idea of political manipulation and not standing on principles that are developed out of concrete and solid values and moral continuity. As I've mentioned in the last couple programs, especially those where we were talking about Samuel Adams as that lesser magistrate, what we know is that from his understanding and from the understanding of those in New England in particular, they had that biblical Reformation perspective. And as we go back and we review over and over, and you just can't let this go, folks. There's just not a single way that you can take and separate the fact that there is a sovereign of the universe and that there are those concrete principles by which man will know how to live and develop then what it means to have a civil society. You can't have a civil society without understanding those fundamental principles. And as I've noted before, that obviously began with the Hebrews through the concept and those principles given to them by God, by the sovereign, the creator of the whole universe, was the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And then how that transcends everything in life, that then becomes part of natural law. I mean, come on. You know, we're seeing all these things on the media that are going, oh, yeah, so-and-so killed so-and-so, and you have this in your town. Local TV, on national news, you have theft, you have white corruption, you have crime. And what I mean by white corruption, white-collar corruption and crime. Then what you have is all of these other things around what we're talking about, these detestable ideas of human abuse. Well, you know what? If you look just at the Decalogue itself, without anything other than the formal structures around what was happening not only through Judaism, but then again through all of Christianity, just that alone sets the very simple principles of governance that begins with self-governance. And when you have that moral standard and you take that moral high ground, guess what? You start eliminating some of those things that we see. What drives white crime? Greed, covetousness, the desire for something that somebody else has, the desire to have more than anyone else has, the desires to take and overbear on someone else, and then the whole idea of libel, false witnesses, deceit, on and on it goes. And then ultimately, it goes into your other fundamentals of adultery and murder. Oh my goodness gracious. When we see that if you take those basic concepts and move them through all of their natural logical conclusions, you end up what we see on the evening news. So what happened during that fundamental foundation of our nation was the Great Awakening, that first Great Awakening. Yeah, you had Jonathan Edwards and everything that was happening and being preached at that time that set that moral high ground. People were getting it. Because one of the things you may not understand or know is that America, even New England, had, again, degenerated into some levels of debauchery prior to the 1700s. It's just amazing. And as it finished through that late 1600s and into that early 1700s, what we were seeing is that, hey, things were going pretty good, or then we went into these depressions, and so we had all of the cyclical stuff that was happening within America as well. And it was because they were stepping away from those fundamental cores of the Reformation principles by which especially New England was formed and founded. And on the fact that they were given charters that allowed for them to have a level of self-governance. Now, when you start combining all of that, and then you begin to look at that whole idea of trade, commerce. One of the things that was very interesting with Samuel Adams' time, and actually during the whole period of the colonies, you have to remember, America was what? We were starting to get colonized in the early to mid-1600s. What happened in England in 1688? Think about that for a second. What historically happened in England in 1688? Well, who is this character called Cromwell? Wasn't that called the Glorious Revolution? Well, yeah, it was. And the king was lessened in his overall authority and power, but at the same time, when Parliament began to become greater in power there, you know what? The colonies already had a very interesting concept called independent charters. And their charters were established in such a way that, again, we talk about a better level of self-governance. In addition to that, what also began during that period of time was what was called the boards of trade, or the trade board. Now, the trade board were the merchants that had great influence upon Parliament. Now, don't we have that today? Don't we have these lobbying groups that are from what? They're commercial. Now, you know what? Nobody is going to say, and especially myself, as a free market or / fair market individual, that and promoting that in the whole business sector, being an independent business person as well as an executive in different corporations, the point is that we, if we don't even bring morality that transcends everything else in all of life, if we don't bring that into what we do on a daily basis from a personal perspective of self-governance and transcend that into every aspect of what we do, including commerce, then what we have is this whole conflagration that comes out of what is then called the Board of Trade that was established in 1688. And I got to tell you, what happened with that was they started telling the colonies that, you know what, we don't want you to be overly productive. We don't want you to produce your own stuff. We don't want you to trade with anybody else. Everything had to flow through England. All trade. So you know what? We had a bunch of buccaneers out there. We did produce during that period of time, especially in those early to mid 1700s, people that would, take and run the ships around the corner and run blockades, do all of that to take and bring trade into America, to bring commerce into America, and to allow us to be able to be profitable in some manner. Now, with that, what happened was then we started to see the pressure from the British business, mercantile, and commerce environment taking and lobbying Parliament in such a way that we now became oppressive in every other area of life. Now, let me bring that back a little bit. Are you seeing some parallels here? Remember what I told you at the very beginning of this program almost 9 months ago is that, you know, if we take and we look in the mirrors of history, we will see today the very same elements that drove our founding fathers into that idea of where was liberty being encroached on and what was forming those encroachments. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the exact same thing today. You've heard me speak of it before as the new or slash modern feudalism, and we're getting that same perspective. So our manufacturing, our heavy manufacturing in particular, has gone where? Offshore. Our light manufacturing, our electronics, and geez, I even saw, one of the most, I'd call her one of the most liberal news media people, Leslie Stahl, actually talking about rare earths and that we can't even get rare earths going. And we're dependent on China for rare earths, even into our military sector. So when we have what we used to and can produce in this nation wrapped and contained by the ideas of environmentalism, bureaucratic rule, all of these other concepts that are violations of our constitutional ideas of commerce and fair trade, then what we have, my friends, is we have, once again, looking back into that mirrors of history, those same things that would come about as the Stamp Act, the Sugar Act, the This Act, the That Act, that was occurring during that 1700 period of time. When we see this, and we are seeing this, it's not that commerce is bad. It's that what we have done is we become immoral in the whole context of not only personal lives, but we've also become corrupt and immoral in the way we do business. You know, that's where we have to go back and consider the idea of who is sovereign. And when we look at and continue to think about what are the actions of the lesser magistrate, we have to consider that they have to be responsive to the sovereign of the universe. And we have to look at that as he is alive and transcends all of time and space, not only into the lives of individuals, but into every activity that we participate in. Ladies and gentlemen, I would just love to have you come back and continue this discussion with me on Samuel Adams Returns, The Anti-Federalist Got It Right, here on Liberty Works Network, where liberty works because, you know what, we're putting it out for you to hear and to respond to. Check us out and come on back in just a few minutes and listen to Samuel Adams Returns on lwrn.net. Thanks a lot. See you in a few moments.